I'm Russell Evans. Welcome. Today I'm going to be speaking on praise continually. You know, our speech needs to be filled with praise. So why don't you sit back and enjoy the sermon today? Psalm 34 verse 1 says this: I will, everyone say, I will bless the Lord at all times. That's cool. His praise shall continually. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's a big word, continually. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I love that. His praise shall continually be in our mouth. How many times, how often should we praise? How many times should we praise? Someone says all the time and someone says continually. They're both right. See, our speech need to be filled with the praises of God continually. That word continually means this: to stretch over our lives. So our lives need to be covered with the praises of God. I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool that every day I can cover my life with the praises of God. Continually, all the time. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, by him, talking about Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice. Turn to your neighbor and say, the sacrifice. That we let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. It says, let us continually again offer the sacrifice of praise. Not only should we praise God continually, but we should come before our God with praise. And when we come to God with praise, we don't come empty-handed. See, we should never come to a king with an empty hand. You never turn up to a party with not a present. And so in the Old Testament, when they used to come into the presence of God, they'd bring a sacrifice before the Lord. They'd either sacrifice a goat, an unblemished goat, an unblemished sheep. They'd come with something in their hand to offer up to God. Well, what we offer up to God in the New Testament is a sacrifice of praise. I don't know about you, but that's pretty exciting. So we always come to God with praise, not with an empty hand. Every day when we get up, we should come into his presence with thanksgiving. The word sacrifice there, it comes from a Greek word, which I won't use because I don't know how to say it properly, but it means to kill or slaughter for a purpose. Praise often requires that we kill our pride, fear or laziness, anything that threatens to diminish or interfere with our worship of the Lord. See, praise literally says, I'm speaking to myself in my life, and as I come and bring the sacrifice of praise, I'm killing off apathy, I'm killing off laziness, I'm killing off fear, I'm killing off pride. We got to come with the sacrifice of praise. Praise needs to be focused on Jesus. Praise will never be hindered when we focus on him, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. The Bible says that in the scripture, it says that the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Praise should be the fruit of our lips, not anger, not discouragement, not cursing, but praise should be the fruit of our lips. That driver, you're driving down the road and a guy cuts you off. Instead of saying, you idiot, which I sometimes say, you should say, praise the Lord. When people mess up in sport, instead of getting mad at them, say, praise the Lord. All you Chelsea supporters, praise the Lord. Pastor Neil goes for Chelsea. When you see him, say, Chelsea. Praise the Lord. Those who don't care about soccer, say praise the Lord anyway. I was watching a basketball game last night, the Sydney Kings versus the Adelaide 36ers, and the Sydney Kings were up by 24 points and they lost by 1 point. You know what the supporters of the kidney sins. The Kidney Sins. Ah, that's a funny name, right? The Sydney Kings should say,
Oh, well, praise the Lord.
See, in every situation to give thanks, sometimes to bring a sacrifice of praise is when you don't feel like doing it. Well, I don't feel like praising. That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. Making the fruit of our lips, always speaking praise to the Lord. Here's the thing that I've discovered about praise. Praise is a choice. I choose to praise. It's, oh, I can't praise. No, it's you won't praise. You either have a choice, or I will, or I will, or won't. You know, Jesus, when he's in the garden, he was faced with a choice. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So he brought his will into the subjection of his Father. Psalm 100 says this. I don't know what I just said. Psalm 100 says this. So how should we praise? How do we praise? The Bible, because we want to look at what the Bible says about praise, because what the Bible says about praise is correct. Not what religion says about praise. Not what my preference says about praise. Not what I think is cool says about praise. Praise has to be set up with what the Bible says. In fact, our whole life should be set up by what the Bible says. So if the Bible says it, we do it. If the Bible suggests we do it, we do it. If the Bible says don't do it, we don't do it. Why? Because the Bible is God's blueprint or plan to bring success in your life. So what does the Bible says? Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise or shout to the Lord, all you lands. A joyful noise. You see, sometimes we think that we got to make our praise professional. God's not looking for professional praise. He's looking for a joyful praise, a joyful noise. Some of you can't sing. That's okay. Who says singing in key is right anyway? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise. You know, some of you sing louder in the shower than you do in church. Your neighbors, you don't care about your neighbors in the shower, but you care about the person you're sitting next to in church. The Bible says, doesn't it, if you sing a key or not in key, then it's joyful. No, no. It says, just make a joyful noise. See, God's designed you to let the sounds of heaven release through you. In fact, you're a person. You go, well, thank you very much. The word person is a Latin phrase. It comes from two Latin words. Son, which comes from the word sonic, which comes from the word sound. So you're a sound. And the word per, the first part of it, is what flows through. So you are, your life is the sounds of what flows through your life. Jesus was the personification or the amplification of the Father. He was the sound of the Father here on earth. So our lives need to sound like what heaven sounds like. And heaven isn't a quiet place. It isn't a reserved place. It's a place of great joy and celebration. So we need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then it says, come before him with singing. It's what the Bible says, that we're in our life, we got to be people who become singers to the Lord. Doesn't matter, as I said, if you can sing like an angel or sing like a duck, it doesn't matter. God doesn't go, oh gee, Jesus, could there, he turns to his son Jesus and he says, hey Jesus, they're singing real bad. Could you just shut them up? No, he loves it. The Bible says that we make a joyful noise of the land, serve the Lord with gladness, come before him with singing. So how do we praise God? We come with a servant's heart. You see, when we praise God, we're praising a king. And when you come before a king, you come as a servant. So we come before him and say, God, we're going to praise you. We're going to let the fruit of our lips give thanks. We're going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're going to declare continually the praises of God because we understand you're the boss, you're the king, and our lives are subject to your authority. So we come and serve you in our worship. How are we going here? It then goes on and it says, it is he who has made us. Before that it says, know that the Lord, he is God. So how do we come with praise? We come with the knowledge that he is God. No use praising God if you don't believe he's God. Come with the knowledge he is God. The reason I praise you, because you're God. I don't understand everything, but you're God and you're in control. So instead of looking at my circumstances, I look at the God above my circumstances. Instead of praying, coming before you, Dr. Michael Maiden put something up on Twitter today, which I got to go back to because it's a really cool statement. He says, don't tell God how big your mountain is. Tell your mountain how big your God is. The heavens declare the majesty of his name. You see, when you praise God, you're declaring to your situation and you're declaring to your mountains how big your God is. When you praise and when I praise, what we're saying is we actually have the knowledge that God, you are bigger than any circumstance. You're bigger than any sickness. You're bigger than any financial need. You're bigger. And so we're going to praise you. I'm coming with the knowledge that you are God and you are Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. And I'm going to praise you continually. I might not feel like it. That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. Then the Bible says, enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Thankfulness is the sound of heaven. Even if we never felt the presence of God ever again, but we were saved from hell because of the blood of Jesus, we should always be thankful. Even if we've got trials and tribulations, we should always be thankful. When you have a revelation of how awesome God is and what he did for you and what he did for me, we should be people who, even if we never ever felt his wonderful presence, which we do, we should be so thankful. So thankful. We get so familiar with what he has done instead of being so thankful for what he has done. Oh, I'm saved. Well, that's good. Yeah, I said the sinner's prayer. Are you thankful every day? Oh, I'm so thankful that I was once lost, but now I'm found. I'm so thankful that you've given me a destiny. I'm so thankful that you believe in me. I'm so thankful that you love me. I'm so thankful that you have the promises of God, a yes and amen. I'm so thankful that I was once going to an eternity in hell, and now I'm destined to heaven. You see what? Sometimes you might not feel thankful. Well, you know what I've discovered? When you start declaring your thankfulness, you preach yourself into happy. Thankfulness. Negativity is like, all that does is thank the devil. Critical, being down on yourself. Stop doing that and come into his presence with thanksgiving. And then it says, praise him. Enter his courts, be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord, he is good and his mercy is everlasting. Praise him because he's good. Praise him because he's God. But the good thing about our God is he's a good God. So praise him because he's good. When I thank him, I'm understanding that he's a good God. He wants to bless me in the city. He wants to bless me in the field. He wants to bless my family. He wants to bless our city. He wants to bless our church. He wants to bless your life. He wants to help you in your exam. He wants to help you in your workplace. He wants to help you. So why I praise him? Because he's good. And he's good not sometimes, not every now and then. He's good all the time. And so if he's good all the time, I should continually praise him. Would somebody praise our good and marvelous God? Woo! So we come with a joyful noise. We come before him with singing. We come with a serving heart. We come in the knowledge he is good. We enter his courts with thanksgiving. We praise him because he's good. Psalm 134 verse 1 and 2 says, oh, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Doesn't say some. Who serve at night in the house of the Lord, lifting up holy hands. We praise him by lifting up holy hands. Lifting holy hands. You know, something about surrendered hands, surrendered heart. as we lift up holy hands and say to our body, come on, come into a kingdom order. I'm not going to let my circumstances droop my hands down, put my hands in my pocket. Oh, I'm worshiping like that. That's not worshiping, that's chilling. Worshiping is getting into Father's presence and lifting holy hands and saying, you're a good God and only you are worthy to be worshiped. I lift up my hands. You know, I go to the soccer and they lift up their hands. No one is worried about them. I see people at concerts lifting up hands. Ah! And it's amazing how people in church don't want to lift up hands because they're worried what people think. It's like, remember the very first time you lifted hands in church? And everyone else is, and you're thinking, I want to do that, but what will people think? Think about that logically. Everybody's got their hands raised and you're worrying what they think when you do. Some people say when you're in a stick up, they go stick it up and you stick your hands and you surrender. And that sort of is part of, yes, it's a sign of surrender, but more so it's a sign of a child reaching up to their loving dad and saying, Dad, I just want your embrace. We praise God with lifting up holy hands. Psalm 98 verse 4 says, shout to the Lord all the earth. You know, the Bible is full of the word shout all the time. It doesn't say shout if you're outgoing. It says shout to the Lord all you, the earth. See, there's something supernatural as you express through your words how awesome God is. It can't be just like, well, I think it. You know, when you pray, your prayer isn't in your head, it's in your mouth. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. You might think a prayer, but until you ask a prayer, it doesn't have any power to it. You might think praise, but until you speak out praise, it doesn't have any power to it. It's like, I've had this happen. You know, I've thought good things about people. Oh, you're them. Yeah. And so sometimes they come to me and they go, we're not sure what you think about me. I'm like, what do you mean? I think good things about you. Don't you get the transference of my thinking? No, there's no power to it until I speak it. There's no power to your life until you speak out what God has said. See, God didn't think the world into existence. He spoke it into existence. That's why the praises of God need to be continually on our lips, because it creates, it stretches over our life an environment, an atmosphere of praise. Shout to the Lord of the earth, break out in praise for joy. We praise him with shouting. I said that before. I've put it in twice because it's mentioned a lot. Psalm 149 verse 3. Now this is for all those who really should be on that show So You Think You Can Dance. It says, praise his name with dancing. Ooh, dancing. I can't dance. But there's something that is released when people use their body that has been created to worship God. And even if you could jump, see, we make it easy for you in Australia. We get you to jump instead of dance because we have kangaroos and we've learned to jump, you know. Jump, jump, jump. Yeah. All right. See, everyone can jump. But something happens when you use your body to praise God. Something happens that they say that, scientists say that your lymph node system, which helps your health of your body, it actually doesn't have its own pump like a heart. Its pump is our body moving, and that's what actually creates our lymph nodes to create health through our body. God knew it when he created you. He said, I'm going to create a praiser, because when you praise, you release health, not only in the spirit, but you release it in the natural part of your life. And so some of you don't feel like dancing. Tap your feet a bit more or do something. There's something released when you dance. And let me suggest to you, a dance at a wedding, if you can dance at a wedding, you can dance in the house of God. I see fathers go, I dance with my wife, my daughter at the wedding, or my bride. Well, dance in the house of God. Now, here's the deal. This is where you can be safe. Here at Planet Shakers, because some people can dance and go, hey, look at me. Those type of people, we move in on real quickly. Remember a lady once in our old building, is our very first building we're in, and she was like, was like something had, she'd lost all control of her limbs. But she was doing this. She was looking around to see who was watching her. So I had Andy was, there was a group of people there on staff, and I just gave them a little nod. Because she was wanting attention for herself, right? So I gave them a little nod, and they just walked in a little closer to her. Eventually, they got about this far away from her, and she's like... And as soon as the attention came off her, because no one could see beyond these big wall of people, she stopped dancing. What was the problem with her? She was wanting the attention instead of bringing the attention to God. So we will steward so that sometimes people who actually go crazy for attention actually stop people who want to be normal and just be free. Just helping you here. So if you ever feel a wall come behind you, you'll know exactly what's happening. Because I see this, some people, their enthusiasm sometimes about themselves. Why don't we have crowd surfing in our mosh pits? Why don't we do that? Nothing wrong with crowd surfing, but it's really the person at the top of the crowd who's saying, look at me, and he's making the attention of him instead of the attention him. Dance before the Lord. David, I love King David. The Bible says when he came into the city, he danced with all his might. There is something powerful about using your body for God. Praise, giving is an act of praise. When you give of your finance or when you give of your life, it's an act of praise. Psalm 47 verse 1 and 2 says, clap, come on everybody, clap your hands. It doesn't say come on somebody. It says, come on everybody, because there's something in the Bible that there puts a demand on when we come together and use our bodies to praise God and we use our hands and our voices. You see, you can go to the cricket, and I love going to the cricket and I do this, and they hit a six and people clap. That's good. Everyone comes into unity and makes an atmosphere. When the church come together and clap, what happens is we're not clapping a game, we're clapping a savior. We're not clapping a situation, we're clapping an eternity. We're releasing something supernatural, because what happens is our lives release sounds that change atmospheres. You say, well, prove that to me. You ever met somebody who's negative and they just talk negative and everything's bad? Guess what atmosphere has around them? Bad atmosphere. But you met somebody who always talks about how good God is and how amazing he is and what he wants to do and what he is doing. Guess what happens in our lives? We get around them and all of a sudden they begin to rub off on us, because the atmosphere they're created around them is bringing change. Praise him with clapping. So we've looked at, now next week I'm going to be talking on what happens as a result of praising God. I've sort of touched on some of it, but there's a whole heap more, right? So what, we need to praise God continually. Why? Because it stretches over our life. We come before God with praise, and not empty-handed. A sacrifice of praise means to kill or slaughter for a purpose. And we talked about how praise requires that we kill our pride, fear, or laziness. Praise needs to be focused on Jesus. Praise should be the fruit of our lips. Praise is a choice. How do we praise? We praise him with a shout, with a joyful noise. We pray, come before him with singing. We come before him with a servant heart. We come in the knowledge he is God. We enter with thankfulness and praise, and we praise him because he's good. And there we lift up holy hands in praise. We shout with praise. We praise him with dancing. We give as an act of praise. We clap, because the Bible says to praise him with clapping. And when we do that, something is released. Yeah.